digital revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak and sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
Between what it means to be good when you're trying to be epic. No, you don't gotta believe in me. Nothing can stop me. I already said it. I'm taking everything they stole from us. Yeah. You got your problems, I'm a whole nother. I'm giving people something to believe in. I'ma show them freedom like a bowl cutter.
We gon' fight back.
Yeah. We breaking chains over here.
Yeah.
You can stay over there.
Stay.
Cause this is revolution mixed with execution. We insane over here. We taking over, making no excuses. They can't control us when they only shooting blanks. Don't obey the rules, we go against the grain. We fight the system until no one is a slave. I'm defiant, yeah. I rise in a crisis. I know what the price is. I'll show them what a fight is. I'm the leader of the pack. I'm here where you at. This is Shakespeare mixed with Banksy. This is screaming out until you can't breathe. This is I don't care how long it takes me, yeah. Cause I know freedom reigns here. Already overcame fear. So if I wanna see it, then I gotta be it. I'ma be changed. I'm defying.
Welcome back, everyone, to It's Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol on CyberstationUSA.com. Once again, join me on the line. This man will be fighting once again August 17th at the MGM Springfield, all the way out on an outdoor matinee event promoted by Murphy's Boxing. He'll be taking on Denis Grachev in a light heavyweight scrap. And well, it's starting to come one step closer to his goal, light heavyweight goal. We're going to find out about that and a whole lot more. Once again, I give the pride and joy of Hartford, Connecticut. I give you Charles Foster. Charles, we'll start off here with, first off, Denis Grachev. This is a big step up. This is a guy who has fought for the title here. How happy are you that they're starting to get more momentum? They're starting to be, you know, you're starting to take on guys who have, you know, more recognizable of a name. Well, take us to Grachev. I mean, what does he bring to the table? Like, when you can compare him to other guys, what kind of fighter is he compared to, let's say, the last five or six opponents you faced? When you look at him, does it concern you at all that he's a guy who he's gotten as high as cruiserweight? He's, you know, he's fought around that 200-pound mark. He's a guy who knows how to, you know, bulk up without, you know, literally getting too heavy. I mean, do you take any consideration, or is this a guy you're just looking at going, all right, you know what? I don't care what weight he's at. I can go in there and I can take him. We'll go back to this fight in a bit, but first, take us back to your last fight. It was you versus You were fighting once again St. Patrick's Day. A lot of things going on. You were taking on a guy who was starting to get a bit chippy there. It was the first time that you had the chance to fight somebody who also wasn't afraid to, you know, go and stay in front of you for a bit, Mike Jimenez. What went right? What went wrong? If anything went wrong, and how do you feel you did that fight? I mean, how would you grade your performance after all said and done?
I give myself maybe a D+. I think I could have gotten the stoppage earlier if I had pressed the issue more, but having said that, I look different. No one could, you know, that was his biggest mistake, and that's what went great. What went wrong for him is that he underestimated my skill set. I have a high skill set, high boxing IQ, so he went off a fight must succeed, but, you know, I could bang, I could box, I could ball, I could counter punch, I could change distances, so whatever fight he sees, he judged me wrong, and I was able to press the thing. I was going to be a lot more cautious about the around the ring, but, you know, he felt uncomfortable, and he couldn't get started, and I started from the beginning of the first round. I got to stop his weight. Sure, it came my power as the fight goes on.
You told that in our previous interview we had, where you do a lot of things different. You don't give the same sort of look. For those who weren't there, for those who didn't see it on TV, like, what did you do differently with Mike that you hadn't done before? Like, what are some of the things you did that threw him off? How much of this fight for you was also about, there was trash talk during leading up to this fight. I know both you guys started to get under each, you know, each of each other's skin. It was St. Patrick's Day. As you said, you had a guy that, you know, was talking a bit. You know, he said he was going to knock you out. He was going to show, you know, what it meant to be a step up of competition. How much of that fight did you look and go, I want to punish him a little bit. I want to teach him a lesson. I want to teach this guy, but you're not going to just, you know, talk trash and get away with it with me. If you're just tuning in, once again, we have it is Charles Foster on the show. We're talking all things, of course, Mike Jimenez, talking Dennis Grashev, as he'll be fighting once again August 17th, only at MGM Springfield in Murphy's Boxing's matinee. Let's talk about some of the big things Murphy's Boxing has done. You now are on Fight Pass, all your fights. No more, you know, local cable, no more hoping that, you know, YouTube picks it up or, you know, the website picks it up. You're now on UFC Fight Pass. It's not Fox, but how much does that help you in terms of there's more exposure, more people can, you know, see you? You know, how much does that help even with the paycheck, knowing that there might be a little more money coming in now these fights? As you said, how much does that help you knowing that it's less worries? I mean, because every fighter worries about money, training, getting enough sparring partners. You know, you worry about, you know, having to finance a training camp, which that takes money and time and energy. How much of this is just one less thing that you have to wake up and go, all right, well, I got to worry about this today on top of X, Y, and Z? The light heavyweight division is right now ruled by one man. That is Bob Arum. He holds most of the top 10 guys are under Bob Arum. Whether it's Jesse Hart, whether it is Ramirez, whether it's Beterbiev, whether it's even Kovalev to an extent because they have a working relationship, or Alexander Gostek. I mean, they're all basically with Bob Arum. At some point, you know, I know that you and your team want to stay together. You and Murphy's Boxing feel that you don't want to bring in anybody else. Are you starting to worry about that it might have to happen? That in order for you to get maybe a title shot against, you know, Beterbiev or Kovalev or, you know, anybody who's, you know, in the top, you know, two or world champions at light heavyweight, you'll probably have to do a co-promotional deal with Bob Arum because that is the way the sport works. Unfortunately, the guys in charge get to make the deals and they get to set terms. You're, as you said before, you're training with Jean Pascal to help him get ready for Marcus Brown. I know that he's also a guy who's fought the levels of Kovalev's. He's fought at that high level. He's won titles at 175. How much of this are you looking at and going, okay, I'm helping you out, Jean, but you're also going to help me out by teaching me how to get ready, how to prepare? I mean, how much of this camp is when you work with Jean, is helping you get ready for down the line, you know, the Kovalevs, the Browns, the Harts, those guys who are just at that next level? Now, I know that you've been wondering about the matinee. Now, as you said before, this, get back to the Gratia fight. If this fight's going to be, if I'm reading this correct, is it going to be indoors or outdoors? All right. So when they heard that, and I'm guessing, you know, Murphy's Box going, yeah, it's going to be an outdoor event. It's going to be awesome. I'm guessing you're thinking, yeah, you've never had to fight outdoors. You know, basically your balls sweating like crazy. It's heavy. It's tough to breathe because it feels like pea soup. Yeah, this doesn't sound too much fun here. Are you worried about that? But all of a sudden it can go anywhere from, hey, by the way, it's hot as hell, to, oh, crap, it's raining cats and dogs. Yeah, you sound very confident. I'd be looking there going, okay, yeah. This is New England weather. We have no idea what the hell is going to happen. It could snow for freaking God's sake. Nothing gets, you know, this is one of those things where, yep, it's New England. We just accept it here. Last question for Let's Go. Once again, we are here with, of course, Charles Foster as he gets ready for his August 17th fight, only on UFC Fight Pass in the MGM Grand in Springfield, Mass. Here, when do you and your team want to start sitting down and start focusing on getting one of those, let's say, top guys? Because you've proven you can beat journeymen. You've proven you can beat fringe contenders. I'm guessing at some point, you know, you want to sit down and go, all right, get me Michael Seals. Get me Hot Rod Kalaja. Get me somebody that it's not Jesse Hart or Marcus Brown, but it's that maybe slight level below where if I win, it helps launch me to that next stratosphere. It helps launch me into that top five title eliminator conversation. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we are proud to have on the show. It is Charles Foster. He'll be fighting August 17th only on UFC Fight Pass. Charles, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? Where is the Twitter page, Instagram, the website? Who are the sponsors going to be for this fight coming up? Charles Foster, ladies and gentlemen, once again, he'll be fighting August 17th. Check a time and local listings for more details at the MGM Grand in Springfield, Massachusetts. We come back. We got a whole lot more here only on Last Call. Last Call at the Alcohol, CyberStationUSA.com. Welcome back to his Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, CyberStationUSA.com. Now, join me on the line. It's been here. Well, it's been a hot streak so far, but he plans to continue. And, well, he is now in the tournament. He'll be taking on none other than Darian Caldwell in the Bellator Featherweight Grand Prix. And, well, he is already planning to not only just beat Caldwell, but beat the entire field. It even goes to a rematch of Pitbull. I give you once again the pride and joy of the MMA Lab in Phoenix, Arizona. I give you it's Henry O.K. Corrales. Henry, once again, you are taking on a guy who a lot of people love, a lot of the MMA hardcores love, and a guy who seems to be a pretty damn good wrestler. Does it faze you at this point, or are you just looking, going, okay, another guy got a knockout, another guy got a beat, and another guy who's just in my way to winning this whole featherweight tournament, you know, thingamabob.
What's up, Chris? Thanks for having me. Yeah, man, it's another tough guy. Super tough opponent, and we're definitely not taking him lightly, man. So we're just out here mastering our craft, getting ready for this guy.
usually you're taking on guys who cut down to 145. One advantage he seems to have is he's been cutting down to 135 for a long time. Now he's up at 145, which means you'll be usually the bigger, you know, physical fighter. Does that change anything for you? Does that make it, you know, more of an advantage, lesser advantage? How does that feel going in and knowing that you're a guy who will physically be bigger than your opponent?
Yeah, I might be a little bit bigger, but I don't know. He's pretty big, and he's still going to be cutting a little bit of weight. He has a couple inches on me in height. So that's something that we haven't really taken too much into account. I mean, we still think he's a pretty big guy.
How much do you feel this helps in this matchup? Because when you compare him, he breaks down like a guy who I guess you probably have worked with a bit. I don't know, a guy named Benson Henderson. You might have heard of him, you know. But on a serious note, he has a similar style. He's a wrestler by trade. He likes to throw a lot of power kicks. He likes to use, you know, a lot of funky moves. How much do you feel that this is for you as an advantage that you have a guy who matches up very well stylistically with Darian, a guy like Benson who can mimic the wrestling style, mimic the coming to the top control, and be a guy who can basically be Darian Caldwell during training?
Yeah, you know, the years of training with Benson Henderson have really come into play, I think, you know. But I'm actually not at the MMA lab anymore. Me and my head coach, Eddie Chaw, who I came to the MMA lab with, we're at Fight Ready now in Austin, Arizona, right down the road at Henderson Lugo's gym. So we're there now, getting some good work, you know, a lot of good wrestling there. So we've had this transition for the past couple months, so we're really excited to show off some of the stuff that we've been working on.
So what made the change? Why decide to leave the lab, or was it just for you an easier trip now?
Well, for me, it's just my head coach has always been Eddie Chaw. And it's kind of one of those things where he goes, I go. So, he had a better fit at Fight Ready, and, I gave it a shot out of respect to my head coach, Eddie Chaw, and it also worked out for me, too. So, it's been a good time.
We're going to go back to this in a bit in the Bellator tournament, but first, take us back to your last fight. You, Aaron Pico, once again, another knockout win here. How nice did it feel? Because going into this fight, a lot of people thought, oh, this is going to be a slaughter, that Pico was the premier athlete. You know, he is this an unbelievable wrestler, you know, Olympic alternate, gold gloves boxer. He's the LeBron James of MMA. How much did going into that fight, did that just start pissing you off? You know, it was basically, well, it's going to be Aaron Pico, and it was like, okay, I am fighting here. He's not just taking on a cardboard cutout. He is actually fighting Henry Corrales.
He definitely has the amateur credentials, this and that. And but at the end of the day, you know, I know what I bring to the table against any of these guys. So none of that stuff kind of feeds me, you know. And if it did, you know, I shouldn't be fighting. I shouldn't be playing this game, this MMA game. That's the way I kind of looked at it the whole time.
Take us to the knockout, because one of the things I noticed about him was he went right to your wheelhouse. If there was a way that people thought he was going to have trouble was his boxing, which he doesn't like getting hit. You have no problem getting hit. That's what your wheelhouse. The more somebody punches you, the more you feel like you're at home. And it was basically Rock'em Sock'em Robots, which you like. Just, you know, firing the right hand off, you know, coming in with an uppercut. How much do you look back at that fight and go, you know, this is something that a couple of years ago you were like him. You didn't know, you know, what you know, and now all of a sudden you know how to trap people. You know how to set things up. You knew how to make them walk into your house and just catch them brutally with those uppercuts.
Yeah, man, that was kind of the game plan. him that ever since he dropped where he did. You know, we wanted to make sure that he knew he was in a fight, and you know, he knew he was fighting a tough veteran with a lot of experience in finishing fights. So I just wanted to make sure we put him in a position where he could get the finish, and that seemed like having a ball a little bit. It is a fight at the end of the day. You definitely don't want to get hit, but at the end of the day, we got to do whatever it takes at any means necessary to get the victory. And I think that was our best route. Victory, so kind of, we kind of just followed our game plan and made it work.
What do you feel you do? We always ask, what went right, what went wrong? One of the things I noticed was that he was not able to implement his wrestling game. That, you know, I'm watching here once again. You're tying up, and it's not just the uppercuts. It's, you know, the body punches. It's, the holding the head, keeping him literally so that he can't move. What did you do to make it so that he couldn't wrestle, that he couldn't just all of a sudden go, all right, well, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go stand and bang, and all of a sudden, you know, he forgot almost like how to wrestle, and you realized, okay, I'm going to be able to tee off on that jaw of his. If you're just tuning in, once again, we have it is Henry O.K. Corrales on the show. We're talking all things, of course, Aaron Pico. We're talking Henry Cejudo's gym. We're talking, of course, the Bellator Grand Prix featherweight tournament as he gets ready to fight Darian Caldwell in the first round of his tournament here. I'm looking at the tournament itself, and it's a who's who of the best fighters Bellator has to probably offer. It's Pat Curran, Darian Caldwell, Juan Archuleta, Daniel Strauss, Pitbull himself, AJ McKee. It's Henry O.K. Corrales here as well. When they posted that, when they put your name in there, and when they start listed all the people who are in this tournament and announced this is going to be our Grand Prix, how nice does it make you feel that for you, it's been the hard road. You've had to take a lot of short notice fights. You've had to learn along the way, the hard lessons of sometimes just jumping in there and taking on guys in 3 days notice, 4 days notice. How much to you does this feel like you've earned your spot in this tournament? Unlike other guys who, they have potential or they have this or they're a hot flash, you can say, I've earned my spot in this tournament. I've proven I'm as good as anybody in this division.
Yeah, it feels great, man. As a man, you want to get recognized for your hard work and, your risks, all the risks you've taken. So it feels great, that translates into striving for bettering our skill set and just evolving. So we're just pumped. We couldn't be more prepared for this tournament, and
Does it help fuel you during the camp that all of your losses mostly are to guys who are in this tournament? Pitbull, free air of a champion, is in this tournament. Daniel Strauss is in this tournament. Emmanuel Sanchez is in this tournament. All of the three of those guys who have beaten you, how much does it help you knowing that if you keep winning, there's a good chance you might, fight two out of those three, one out of those three, and avenge some of those losses along the way?
Yeah, that'd be really nice. Definitely, nothing personal against those guys, but we definitely got vengeance on our minds. Those losses took place a while back, 3-4 years ago maybe. So, it's definitely, we're kind of a different fighter these days, so it'd be cool to get back in there, get a better version of myself.
I'm looking back once again, as you said, I'm watching the Pico fight, and How much of that fight, looking back, has helped you in the tournament? Has helped you, and help will help you going forward in that you got clipped, you got back up, and then you dominated the fight. You decided, okay, well, instead of freaking out, instead of going, okay, well, this is not going well, you decide, okay, it's still there. I can still just make some changes. I can still turn this into my favor. A couple years ago, that didn't happen. How great does it feel knowing that, you know, a win like the Pico win, a win like, you know, your last couple fights, it's been the small improvements besides the big ones. It's been, you know, oh, I've improved my footwork, or I've improved my defense, I've improved my dirty boxing. You know, all of a sudden now everything feels like you're becoming a complete mixed martial artist. I know you don't like to brag. I don't know if it's never been your style. You like to keep things very low key. But did you start geeking out when they announced the tournament? Was there ever a part of you that just went, okay, I can start? You know, there could be a little bit of celebration because of what you've gone through, as you said, the long road. You know, having all the ups and downs, having three straight losses, and worrying about getting cut. Have you had that moment where you've been able to just start peacocking around, going, you know what? Damn it, I am that good. Damn it, you know what? It is nice to feel love, to feel the love for promotion. Now, have you allowed yourself to, you know, just be sort of a bit just, you know, peacocking around about what you've accomplished right as of to date?
Yeah, you know, I have, that's for sure. You know, but I'd say, you know, especially, you know, I have good friends and stuff. You know, I kind of, you know, let me know what time it is and what's going on. My career and everything, you know, and so, you know, we've definitely been able to, like, enjoy some of this glory, you know, so kind of savor it, whatever, the good stuff, but, you know, that's only cool when you, you know, back that up with hard work, you know, we're still grinding, and we're still, you know, we're trying to keep the good times rolling, you know what I mean, so, it's just a typical balancing act.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, he's entering the tournament. We're going to find out what's going to happen with him as he gets his first round, assignment against none other than Darren Caldwell. I'll give you once again the pride and joy of California now via Arizona, and he is planning to shock the world. I give you, it is none other than Henry O.K. Corrales. Henry, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? Where is the Twitter page, Instagram, the website? And more importantly, also, who are the sponsors going to be for this fight coming up?
Well, thanks for having me, Chris. It's always nice talking to you. I'm mostly active on Instagram at Henry Krause MMA. Some of the big sponsors would be Dreamscapes, Up to Save Insurance, Lacing Loop, the Turf House, and the Chop Shop Barbershop, and find the rest on my Instagram.
Henry Corrales, ladies and gentlemen, once again, he is ready and primed. It's going to be all the way in none other than Inglewood, California. Pitbull versus Archuleta. It's going to be, well, Henry Corrales versus Darren Caldwell, only on DAZN. Check your time and local listings for details. We come back. We got a lot more here going on, only on Last Call. Last Call without the alcohol on CyberStation USA. com. You don't own me. You don't own me. Well, let's go. But I'm Gerald. Yeah. And I can always have just what I want. She's the baddest, I would love to flaunt. Take her shopping, you know, Yves Saint Laurent. But nope, she ain't with it though. All because she got her own though. Boss, if you don't know, she could never ever be a broker. You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me.
try to change me in any way. You don't own me. Don't tie me down, cause I never stay.
Really though, honestly, I get bored of basic. No. She's the baddest, straight of vicious, texting her and asking her if she's alone and send some pictures. She said no.
What?
Well, goddamn. She said come over and see it for yourself. Never asking for your help. Independent woman, she ain't for the show. No.
Nah.
She's the one. Smoke with her until the stand up until we see the sun. The baddest ever. Swear she do it better than I ever seen it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to It's Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol at CyberStationUSA.com. Join me on the line. This man here will be fighting once again. And, well, he is planning to make, once again, quick work of his opponents. A lot of big things going on as he is primed, ready, and, well, he continues to make sure that it's going to be 11-1 after taking on John McDessie at UFC 241. I give you, once again, the pride and joy of Factory X, and all the way from Bedford, Ohio, I give you, it is the King Cage himself. I give you Devontae Smith. Devontae, is this the kind of fight you like? A guy who, he's not going to do a lot of wrestling, he's not going to do a lot of tricky jiu-jitsu, he's a guy who, he wants to throw a lot of kicks, a lot of punches. It seems like a highlight reel knockout that a guy like yourself wants to, or who can't get. Is this the kind of fight you like? Just pure, you know, basically stand and bang, bro, as they call it.
Yeah, it was like that was easier. You know, I got to deal with the takedowns, the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling. You know, it's just the easy one, too. Get in, get out.
Here's the question, because I know that you game, everybody game plans, and you look at stuff here. How tough is it finding guys who can do what McDessie does in terms of, He'll do weird kicks. He'll do a lot of stuff where it's off balance. He'll throw side kicks a lot. He'll do a lot of spinning kicks. How tough is it getting guys who can mimic him? You know, get you ready so that, you know, you're not get all of a sudden, you know, going in for an overhand right. Next thing you know, you're having trouble breathing because he, you know, delivered a liver kick, you know, in that sweet spot.
Right. I train with Factory X, man. I have nothing but elite training partners. You know, my coach Mark Montoya, Professor Busy, you know, my dude Uses the Law, Mark Hill, like everybody helps me in the biggest ways, you know, so I won't have to deal with the unexpected. You know, we have tons of fighters on the team that fight like McDessie, but better. So I have no worries, and in my mind, I'm ready just to get in, get this win, become 11-1, get all three checks, and go about my day.
It's funny, you know, as you said, you have a lot of guys, as you said, you can fight as good as McDessie. One of the things he has, though, is he has the advantage in terms of experience. I mean, let's face it, he's been in these high-profile fights. He's been in these situations where sometimes wonky stuff happens. You don't know what it is. He knows how to even sometimes hide stuff where you might be, you know, thinking, all right, he's going to do the leg kick, and he'll do something very small that just all of a sudden gets you to drop your guard or drop your hands. How tough is it, you know, trying to prepare for a guy who just has tons of experience? Like, he knows basically how to set up his shot so that you don't see it coming.
My years of experience, I mean, that veteran title means nothing. You know, my last opponent, he's been through wars against people bigger than at 170. I still put him out in the first round. Julian Rosa, he had over 20, 30 fights all together. I put him out in 40 seconds. What was over? Mike Lowry, I think that was his name, for the Contender Series. They had him picked, you know, because he was 8-0, V3 champion. He won the fight off of, what's that, the Dana White show. And I put him out in the first round, you know. So that experience, that veteran stuff, it means nothing.
Thanks to that. I mean, you've been, the last couple of fights I've noticed here is they're starting to push you a lot quicker. First, it was Julian Erosa. All right, that's a nice win. You know, some people could say he is a fringe UFC guy, but hey, it was a UFC fight and a lot, he had experience. Then it's a big jump up. Next, we're taking us through your last fight. It was you versus Dong Hyung Ma at UFC 234. Once again, this is another guy, a lot of experience. You know, highly thought of, you know, one-time Korean prospect and fought a lot of top guys, coming off a three-fight win streak over Takanari Gomi, Damian Brown, Brendan O'Reilly. How nice was that, getting a guy and just knocking him out who he had a lot of, there was a lot riding behind him. A lot of people thought he was going to be able to maybe upset you because he was coming off a nice three-fight win streak.
Yeah, but I'm coming off like five, six, seven wins. I just went there and did what I've been trying to do, and that's win. You know, take my time, I pick my shots, and you know, I seen the opening, and I took it.
Take us to that, because I've always been impressed when younger guys can do that, where, as you said, you pick your shots, you're patient. It's a fight. Every time you're in a fight, you know, the adrenaline's going, you know, the endorphins are just up to, you know, 900 level, you're literally just, you know, on your heels or on your toes because, as you said, one punch changes everything. You can have the perfect game plan. All it takes is to get clipped. How do you, for someone like yourself, how did you learn how to just be very composed in there when, as you said, it's a sport where every body part's a weapon. They can throw kicks, punches, elbows, you know, forearms. Anything that a guy has is a weapon and can be used to knock you out.
So what's the question?
So the question was, how did you learn how to become composed? How did you learn to just not worry when, as you said, there's all these things you got to worry about, and yet you just have to be very composed in this octagon?
I've just been against a lot of good people, you know, especially being from Cleveland, Ohio, going to the boxing gyms, going against people who were at the Olympics, people who won gold gloves, people who went to the Nationals, you know, and you know, that boxing environment is kill. And I'm so used to that type of energy that I'm calm, you know. I'm not patient, but I am patient, you know. I'm just used to that, you know, the aggression, you know. My endorphins don't like spike up. My adrenaline doesn't spike up because it's just another day. The only difference is I can hit you as hard as I can without worrying about hurting, you know, because that's the goal. But yeah, just the people I've trained with and all the experience I've been through, 3 years to, you know, up to now where I am.
If you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we've got, it is Devontae Jones on the show. We're talking all things, of course, Dong Hyung Maestro Ma. We're talking, of course, his upcoming opponent, UFC 241, John McDessie. We're talking keeping composure here. Let's talk about the big thing here. It's right now, as we are looking at it here, you're either on the pay-per-view card or you're on the prelim card where they start drumming this stuff up, or they start going, well, you got to watch these fights here, get used to the big fights here. And many say this is probably their best card of the year. It's UFC 241, it's Pettis Diaz, Romero Costa, Brunson, Stipe Miocic, Cormier is maybe his final performance. What does that mean to you when they're putting you on this card? It's not like they're just putting anybody on this card. This is a card where, you know, from top to bottom, there's a lot of damn good talent, a lot of guys, or a lot of women even, who are at that next level, and they're considering you part of it. They're putting you on a car where you know there's going to be a lot of eyeballs. What does that mean to you in terms of your confidence?
All eyes on me. Shit, I'm excited. You know, more people get to see me win. More people get to see me shine bright. You know, more people get to see, you know, what I am, you know. I'm excited, bro. Like, the more people there, the more excited I become. You know, when I hear the crowd scream, you know, when I get a good hit and you hear roaring and, oh, that gets me excited. You know, and to know that I'm being put on such a big card, I'm be like, I know they see it already. So all I got to do is just play my part and just keep winning.
Now, do you expect to have maybe, not during the fight, of course, but the lead up, do you expect to have that geek out moment where all of a sudden, you become a fan? Because there'll be a time when you're sitting in, the media aisle, you're doing the interviews, and all of a sudden you turn to your right, and oh, by the way, there's Anthony Pettis, former world champion, master of some of the most dynamic kicks we've ever seen in the octagon. And you look to your left, oh, by the way, there's Dan Cormier here, there's Stipe Miocic. I mean, I know that you're a confident guy, but do you expect to have that moment where you just act like a fan? You're starstruck because you grew up watching these guys, and now all of a sudden you're sharing the same podium as them.
It's a funny question because the only person I will admit that I've ever been starstruck to the point that I ain't know what to say, what to do, and where to go was when I met Floyd Mayweather. I was doing security for him when he came out here in Cleveland. And when I seen him, and I got to see, wow, that's Floyd Mayweather. I ain't know what to do, what to say, and I felt goofy. I ain't gonna lie. But when I was in Australia, and I found out Anderson Silva was downstairs, I didn't care. I became a fan boy. Ran downstairs, took the elevator, waited out to see until he came out from his interviews, and I'm like, well, man, hey, let me get these pictures, man. I've been watching you since I was little, he smiled, and he gave me, we took a picture. I will always be, a fan, but we in the same weight class. Ooh, you just another person. I love to still, take pictures. Anthony Pettis, DC, Stipe, all of that. But I'm just good if not better. I'm better if I'm coming off the right way. In the sense of you get what I'm saying. I'm a fan, but when it comes to this fighting.
What are the odds you might start getting into a trash talk with Nate Diaz? Because he'll insult anybody. He doesn't care. Doesn't matter how small you are, big you are. If you piss him off, he'll talk trash. You strike me as somebody who you'll just poke the bear just for the sake of poking the bear. Is there a chance you might do that? Just try to poke Nate Diaz and get a reaction out of him?
Nah, man. If you cool with me, I'm cool with you. But if you a dick to me, I'm a bigger one. So if everybody come out smooth and real cool and friend like, hey, I'm need that same energy, But I ain't gonna be poking the bear just to poke the bear, if I ain't got no benefits to it. But he's 170 now. He ain't coming back to 55, is he? Or he back and forth?
Well, you never know in Nate Diaz. I think he just chases big fights, as they say.
One day I might have to poke the bear.
It all comes down, though, once again, to lightweight. It's you, John McDessie. As we said, he is a guy who seems to be reborn with Rufus Sport. He's also a guy who we've seen he can knock people out. He's done that with Shane Campbell. He's done it with Rene Forte. He knows how to kick people. He knows how to set it up. And he knows how to hide it. He's damn good at that here. How much of this fight comes down for you to just, as you said, picking your spots, not getting too over-aggressive, not trying to, land a highlight punch? Because if you do that, he can make it awkward. He can make it just a very tough time for you.
The best answer for that is I'm going to just do me. Whether to do me is to set it up, whether to do me is being aggressive, whether to do me is to take down, whether to do me is, whatever comes first, whatever comes natural. My goal is to win. That's all I care about. No matter how weird you are, no matter how experienced you are, no matter who you train with, your upbringing, it does not matter. You sign that contract, I'm beating your ass, and I'm getting this win. Because you signing that contract, it's you telling me that you can beat me, that you can send me to the hospital, that you're better than me, that you work harder than me. And all of these things are false. And so, it is what it is when that gate closes.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, he will be fighting once again. It is UFC 241 all the way out in Anaheim, California. It is DC versus Cormier 2. It is Nate Diaz versus Anthony Pettis. It's going to be this man here against John McDessie. I give you once again, it is, as he said, the king himself, I give you none other than Devontae Smith. Devontae, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? Where is the Twitter page, Instagram, the website? Where can the fans hit you up at?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at KOE_KINGKAGEUFC. I got the blue check mark like 2 days ago, so you know it's really me now.
You must be excited about that. It's like, hey, it's official now. You have the blue check mark.
Oh, my gosh. It's official. It took so long, but I got it now. I got it.
Devontae Smith, ladies and gentlemen, once again, UFC 241, Anaheim, California. Check your time and local listings for details. We come back. We got a whole lot more here only on Last Call. Last Call to the Alcohol Cyber Station, USA.com.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a
we'll be right back. before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberstation USA.
Cyberstation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyberstation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and Cyberstation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive Cyberstation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Cyberstation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The Cyberstation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberstationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.